As we continue on through the book of Mark, and we're going to be doing really probably the next two or three weeks, finishing out chapter 5 in Mark, looking at the place of desperation. Let's read the first verses together. We'll go through 34 today and maybe not get that far in teaching, but let's read it to set the groundwork, and then we'll go back and look at it more closely. Notice verse 21, it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.' And so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him, and they thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Every one of us in here have been in a place of desperation before. Some of us at different levels than others. But we've all been in a place of desperation. We know what that feels like. And there's an amazing thing that desperation does to us. It really brings us to a question, and that is, do we really trust God to take care of our situation, or are we going to give up and believe there's no hope? That's the place of desperation, and that's what the place of desperation does. And so over the next two or three weeks, we're going to be looking at these two different people here that face these situations of desperation. One is a man desperate for his dying daughter, and another is a woman who really has lost her hope in life due to a physical condition. And we're going to see that in both situations, because they put their hope in the Lord, they found the help they needed. See, here's the lesson already. And you could almost say this and say, here it is. You've got it today. We could go. If you're in that desperate situation, run to Jesus. The answer is always in him. And the Lord will give you everything you need, and he will be everything you need to take care of that situation. And that is what Jairus and what this woman is going to be learning as we look at them, as I said, over the next couple of weeks. Well, let's jump into it. Notice verse 21. I'm sorry, let me give you some groundwork before we jump right in. Remember last week he had gone to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and faced the demoniac, and he released him of the demons. That was the deserted side of the Sea of Galilee. The other side of the Sea of Galilee was the city side, the busy side. And interestingly enough, it's still that way today. If you go to Israel, you'll see that on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, there's not really any cities over there. Some minor business here and there. There's a restaurant over there, and that's about it. And then you get on the other side, and you've got Tiberias and Capernaum and these different cities that are there, that are still there, Gennesaret. And so it was kind of the same setup. They've rebuilt them on the old ruins, which again, the scripture said they would do when they went back to the land. And now they're traveling back to the other side. They get back over to Capernaum, and that's where we take up here in verse 21. They've come back after the demoniacs, after the storm, and there's a crowd waiting on the Lord. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." It's interesting to note right off the bat here that the synagogue leader would come to Jesus at all. And why is that interesting? Because again, remember, the religious leaders of the day had rejected the Lord. He was a commodity to stay away from. Stay away from Jesus Christ. And if you went near the Lord, they eventually said you were to be excommunicated. You were to be put out of the fellowship. And it was different than it is today. If you were put out of the fellowship with the Jews, you couldn't even get a job. You were done. And so they said, you know what? Nobody goes near him. And now we have the leader of the synagogue, one of the religious leaders, if you will, running to Jesus and putting his authority and his power in jeopardy and his reputation with his colleagues. But the reason being is, guys, and note this, this was a man who was desperate. He was a desperate man. And the thing we're going to see over the next couple of weeks is desperation drives us to do things we would never normally do were we not desperate. And my point in that is this, not all desperation is bad. Are you in a desperate place this morning? It may not be a bad place to be. If you're in a desperate place because of sin in your life, well, then you deserve to be desperate. And that's just how it is. Let God deal with your heart and your life and drive you back to Him. But if you're in a desperate place this morning simply because of living life and the world we live in, realize God may be sending you through a test and a trial. And as God sends us through those desperate places, it can be very good. This man was desperate because he knew his little girl was dying. I mean, this was his little girl. And she's at the point of death, and this desperation now makes him do things he wouldn't normally do. He's saying, I don't really care what these guys think about me. No doubt Jairus had seen the miracles. As a matter of fact, we know he had because Jesus had done these inside and outside of the synagogue, but now it was him that needed help. Remember when Jesus healed those in the synagogue in Capernaum, the religious leaders fussed at him. They gave him a hard time. No, very possibly Jairus may have been one of those that attacked the Lord when he did that. And yet now we see Jairus needing the help himself. And you know, it's a whole different story when you're the one that needs the help, isn't it? I've heard it said minor surgery is when it's happening to someone else. You know, you go and you pray with someone and say, you're only having minor surgery today. It's like, okay, let them stick that tube in you, and then find out how minor that surgery is. So it depends on our situation. And no doubt he sat from a position of religious pride when Jesus was going against the flow of what was right in the synagogue. And now all of a sudden his daughter's in desperate straits. And he's like, I don't care. I need help. Now it's interesting in light of this that Jairus, his name literally means whom Jehovah enlightens. Interesting. Because I believe that this is his enlightening moment. As a matter of fact, I know this is his enlightening moment. And the Lord, no doubt, has been working on Jairus' heart. No doubt when Jesus was in the synagogue doing those miracles, they were looking at, Jesus, and Jairus was beginning to wonder, what's with this guy? And being drawn in and seeing that he was no ordinary person. And now we see God beginning to enlighten him. And again, the Lord begins to enlighten his eyes as to who he really is. And it's interesting to note what God used in Jairus' life to bring him to a place of enlightenment. Now, here's the part you may not like. You ready? Are you with me? It's one thing to say that God's going to enlighten us. And maybe some of you this morning don't know the Lord. God's never opened your eyes. You're here, you're visiting, you've come, and you don't know Jesus Christ. God wants to enlighten your eyes. But note this, it wasn't by prayer and by Bible study that God opened the eyes of Jairus as to who Jesus was. It was by the point of desperation. And some of you this morning, God may have in a point of desperation for two reasons. Number one, as an unbeliever, God may be using that point of desperation to bring you to himself. I know God did it in my life. He got me to a place of desperation. And I said, I need help. I'm desperate. And I've heard that Jesus can help me. And I ran to Jesus. Some of you this morning may need to do that. You're in that place of desperation as an unbeliever. And you need to run to Jesus. But guys, listen, there's also a message here for us as believers. Because God allows us to get in a place of desperation. So we'll run to Jesus as well. You know, I found that if things are going well for me, I kind of sit back in my spiritual lazy boy. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's easy to kind of put it in cruise control. No problems. Things are going good. God's good. Family's taken care of. Everything's in order. This is good. Just kind of cruising along. And while we're cruising along, it's sometimes easy to forget, there's other traffic on the road. And somebody else might make a move that you're not expecting them to make. And suddenly your nice little world of cruising down the road is suddenly disrupted. And sometimes it happens so quick, it can be a place of desperation, even in that example. But note this, God does the same thing in our lives. I think God on purpose comes along while things are cruising along fine, and God will allow a place of desperation. He will allow a shaking to take place. And why does God do that? Because God wants to find out who's bolted down. You know, when it comes to a shaking in our life, when I get shaken, I find out what's loose. That's something very easy to do. You get shaken, you find out what's loose. And I find out, Lord, I don't have the faith in you I should have when this place of desperation comes. And God says, Mark, tighten it down. Or Lord, I don't trust in you enough when this is happening. Or Lord, I don't see you enough when that's happening. God says, Mark, tighten it down. And that's exactly what is happening in Jairus' life. God puts him in a place of desperation so that he can find out what in his life needs to be tightened down. He had seen the miracles of the Lord. He knew that God had done it for others, and now he wanted the Lord to do it for him. And God allowed that desperate situation in his life to do that. See, here's my point. Listen, if you're desperate this morning, guys, note this. In that desperation, God is simply trying to solidify your walk. God is trying to teach you to trust him. Remember when they were in the storm earlier, the boat's going crazy and everything's going, and Jesus had to remind them, where's your faith? It's all right. I'm with you in the boat. It's going to be okay. And yet we still kind of do this, don't we? We grab onto the sides and hold on with all we've got. And then God will allow the moments of desperation to come in as well. Not just the storm, but desperation in the midst of it. like he's done Jairus here, and he wants a certain reaction. Now, note this. There are two things we can do when we get desperate. We can either run away and hide and run to the world, or we can run to Jesus. The answer is always run to Jesus. And I guess really there's three things we can do. We can run away and hide. We can run to the world, or we can run to Jesus. And God will allow us to go through these times of testing and tribulation, if you will, to find out where we're going to run. Jairus did it right. He didn't, up to this point, believe in Jesus as far as being a follower. But now when he got in this desperate situation, he got the nudge he needed. You know, there may be some of you today that needed that nudge before God put you in a place of desperation. Yes, Pastor Mark, I'm in a place of desperation right now. Well, maybe God needed to put you there so that he could take you to the next place he wanted you to be. You know, it's interesting. A lot of things we're afraid to try until we get a little push. Some of you, especially the guys, I doubt this has ever happened to the girls. It may have, but if you've ever done things like where you're with a group of guys and you're jumping off of some kind of cliff things down in water or whatever, and you're a little bit scared to do it because it looks a little bit high, and one of your buddies decides he's going to help you lose that fear real quick. And he comes up behind you and goes, whoop, like that. And you're, ah, you kaboosh. You know, and then after you hit the water, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. That was kind of fun. It was kind of fun getting from there to here. And I would have missed all that had he not pushed me. Now, I'm going to kill him when I get up there. But that was kind of neat. And you actually want to do it again. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't apply saying I necessarily look forward to the place of desperation. But guys, here's my point. Sometimes God will get us to the edge of something he wants us to move on to. And because we are afraid to do it, God gives us a little nudge. And it puts us in a moment of desperation. We find ourselves falling. We find ourselves swinging our arms. Ah! And all of a sudden, whoosh, you're like, okay, we made it. This wasn't so bad. And look what God has done. It's beautiful here. And so we see what the Lord transfers us over to. Realize this, if God has you in that place, you need to run to the Lord. You need to trust. If he's allowed that nudge in your life, God is doing it for a reason. Notice it says when Jesus arrived that Jairus ran to him and he fell down before him. Now again, this is interesting to me because the synagogue is right there next to the water. When you go to Israel, they have now found that synagogue. You get to go in that very synagogue. They've uncovered it and reconstructed it. And it doesn't have a roof on it, but it's got the pillars up and some of the walls up and everything. And you can see it's right there next to the water. So usually the keeper of the caretaker, if you will, of a synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue, would live either near there or would have been at work. Now, probably he was near there because his daughter was sick, but he would have seen Jesus arriving. He would have seen the crowds coming up and recognized what was going on. But notice it says he ran to him and he fell down before him. Now, this is interesting because as I was living this scene out in my mind, I thought, how did he get to him? It says that the crowd thronged him, and the word there literally means suffocated. You ever been in those situations at a concert or a ball game or something where there's kind of this jam of people that can't get in past this thing, and all of a sudden you feel people pushing forward and pushing backward? And I had one time where the crowd started kind of moving me this way. That's a scary feeling because this is the kind of thing here where like people get crushed and stuff, you know? But this is exactly what it's talking about. Now we know why the Lord put his boat out and said, put the boat out in the water. You know, get off the water so they don't crush me here and I can share with them. I can teach them. That's what was going on here. He was being crowded. Why did everybody just clear out of the way? They had to move out of the way for Jairus. Well, a little bit of history gives us the answer. You see, the ruler of the synagogue was a very important and respected man in the community. Everybody knew him. And he was the one basically that kept the church running. We would say it that way. The ruler of the synagogue was basically the caretaker, the overseer. He directed the worship. He oversaw the maintenance. He selected readers of the scripture for the services. He examined and monitored what everyone taught. And he made sure that the traditions of the elders were followed. And you know how important that is in the Jewish culture, right?
Tradition.
I mean, what if Rep Tevye came that day? So everything had to be in order. Everybody knew him. If you needed anything to do with the temple, you went and you saw Jairus. He was the guy to see. Now when they see Jairus running down there, you can imagine their response. Hey, the ruler of the synagogue is coming. Make way, clear way. You know, it's like, why is he coming? And probably they thought he was coming, maybe some of them, to rebuke the Lord. Because again, remember, the religious leaders didn't like Jesus. And now Jairus comes running down there. And as soon as Jesus arrived, he ran to him, falls down before him. And what a huge statement this would have been in front of the people. And why such a huge statement? Because what Jairus would have been saying is, I agree with all the followers of Jesus. The religious leaders are all wrong, and I need Jesus right now. Now, see, this is great because this is what desperation does. Desperation removes the fear of man. Desperation removes the desire to please man or what people think. You don't care at all. When you get in that place of desperation, you don't care. Jairus was there. He was in a place of desperation and he was running to Jesus. He said, I don't care if I lose my reputation. I don't care if I'm ostracized by my community. I don't care what happens. My little girl is home dying and Jesus is the only one I know that can help. And I've got to get to Jesus. I love it. He finally gets it. Jesus is the answer. I saw the other day a mom, those of you that have kids and you've ever lost a kid, that's a pretty scary feeling, isn't it? Now, maybe some of you lost a couple and thought, good. No, I'm just kidding. But you've lost a kid. You know that feeling? And you're in a big crowd and you can't find them. And you know what happens? I've had this happen, that feeling. You don't want to think the worst, but it pops in your mind. What if some weirdo has gotten a hold of my kid? And there's this moment of, got to find him. I mean, you are focused. And I don't care what happens. Life stops until you find that child. That's really the picture of what's going on in Jairus' heart. I saw some woman on TV that had lost her child and they were showing the film of it. She stopped a crowd of people and said, everybody stop and pray to Jesus. I mean, she just stopped everybody. She did. There were unsaved people going, yes, Lord, Father, yes, Lord, Lord. I mean, she just came in, stop now, right now, pray. And everybody was just praying, and they found the little kid. It was like an hour later or something. It was an amazing story. But see, that's the heart right here. If you've ever felt that, that's the heart that Jairus had. It was a heart, I've got to get to Jesus, nothing matters. And guys, here's my point in this. Listen, when God gets us to a place of desperation, he's removing everything out of the way that would stop us from running to the feet of Jesus. It's out of the spiritual lazy boy. It's getting rid of everything in our life that doesn't absolutely have to be there. It's tightening down everything, every bolt, every loose screw, because we have to stand. We have no choice if we're going to survive. And we either walk away or we run to Jesus. And what Jairus was doing was running to Jesus. He was desperate. And I love it. Notice it says he goes there and he falls at his feet. And again, this is wisdom. Whenever we find ourselves in that desperate situation, we need to fall at the feet of the Lord. And I love this. He says, my little girl, he cries out to the Lord after he falls at his feet. And he says, my little girl, you see the tenderness in the dad's heart. His heart's breaking. You've got to help me with my little girl. She's dying. And I love this because notice the faith that Jairus had in Jesus here to help. He didn't say, Lord, if you'll come, maybe there's a chance. You know, maybe you can do something. Maybe, I don't know, there's anything, whatever. I'm desperate. But he said, I know if you come. Note this. He says, she will live. His point is, I have no doubt that if you respond, Lord, everything's going to be okay. And that's the confidence, you see, that we need when we run to the Lord. Falling at his feet and saying, I can't do anything, and I don't know what's going on, but I trust, Lord, that you can, and you know what's going on, and you'll take care of it. And notice it says there, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. It's interesting there in verse 24, Jesus went with him. It means he went with him promptly. I like that. Don't you like it when you run to the Lord and he responds immediately? Now, I've got good news and bad news for you. Sometimes the Lord responds immediately, but he makes us wait on the full answer. You see, God will always respond immediately. When we cry out to the Lord, God will give us comfort. God will reach out to us. God will minister to us. God will encourage us. But he doesn't always do things in our timing. And we're going to find out that as the crowd starts moving toward Jairus' house, they're moving very slowly because of this huge crowd. That would have made it go slow. But in addition to that, there's this woman that comes up. Like, she has needs too. And she grabs a hold of Jesus, like stops him, like, what are you doing, woman? I don't know what he's thinking. But I try to think of Jairus, I was like, okay, you've got a little issue going, whatever, stop it. My daughter's dying. We'll deal with your issue next week. When we get to those verses, Jesus is right now in verse 24, leave him alone. And yet, we're going to see when we get there, the Lord stops. And he takes care of her need. Now, don't get the wrong picture. I'm not saying that God, when he starts helping us, goes, oh, wait a minute, Mark needs something. I'll be right back. He doesn't do that. Like he does, because he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. God knows all things, and he's everywhere. What I'm saying is, God will promptly respond to our place of desperation to help us. And he'll give us comfort, and he'll begin to minister to us. But sometimes in that, he'll say, I'm going to give you grace, but wait. It's not time for your desperation to be gone yet. It's driven you to me, but there's a little bit longer this is going to last. Trust me. And I love it because next week we're going to see somebody comes up to Jairus while they're talking and he's just finished dealing with this woman, right? And it says, don't bother the master, your daughter's dead. And immediately it says, the Lord looked at Jairus and said, don't fear, only believe. Don't worry. And see, that's what happens. We get in the place of desperation and things begin to fall apart in the way we think it should go and it doesn't go that way. We go, oh Lord, this is it. This is done. It says, calm down. I'm on the throne. I'm in control. And I'm going to do everything I promise you that I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it in my timing. And so the good is, he responds immediately. The bad is, he doesn't always respond immediately in stopping our situation or moving us out of the situation. He's simply prompt to minister to us and to encourage us. But he waits until his perfect timing. You know, the Bible says God's perfect time is the timing that we've got to have. It's in God's perfect time that all things take place. In his time. Sometimes he moves right away. Sometimes he delays. Our job is to learn to trust him and to wait because he knows when all things are ready. You know, as we look at desperation, it's not a bad place to be. And if you're in that place of desperation today, I want to encourage you. And we're going to pray in a moment and give you an opportunity just to pray and to fall at the feet of the Lord, to run to the Lord in that place of desperation. Because it's in the place of desperation that God reveals himself to us in ways that we've never had him revealed before. I got this blog. I don't know this Pastor Trey, but I was given this blog message from a Pastor Trey that I thought was really appropriate to this particular portion of Scripture about desperation. I want to read it to you. And bear with me if I look down a lot. Because I'm reading it from a piece of paper, and so there won't be a lot of eye contact. But just listen to what he says. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defines desperation as being moved by despair, suffering an extreme burden or anxiety, extreme intensity, involving or employing extreme measures in an attempt to escape frustration or defeat. And notice the words extreme. There are many different causes for desperation in the days in which we live. There's an emotional, physical, and spiritual causes for desperation, and a specific type of desperation of these three major causes. Yes, I have storms, but why? Anyone can serve God when the sun is shining and the sea is calm, but it takes men and women of faith, courage, and commitment to stay the course through the storm. The storm tests our level of commitment. The storm helps us to see what is really important and what is excess baggage. The storm shakes loose the things that aren't connected in the Spirit of Christ. The storm brings out the best and it brings out the worst. The storm in Mark chapter 6 brought these disciples to a place of desperation. Why did they need to reach this place of desperation? It was because Jesus was coming to them in a different way than they had ever seen him before. And if they had not been desperate, they could have easily missed this fresh move of God. Jesus waited until they were exhausted, worn out, and in other words, they knew that their self-effort was useless. Without divine assistance, they were going to die, and hence they got desperate. It is amazing how close we sometimes have to come to being completely destroyed before we receive grace through becoming desperate. They saw Jesus on the water, but fear almost kept them from receiving him. Fear hinders many people from receiving what God wants to do. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what other people might think or say. Fear of breaking a tradition. But desperation overcame their fear. Their desperation became a positive force in preparing them for this awesome revelation and manifestation of the power of God. Nobody likes to feel weak or unsuccessful or like they don't know what they're doing. But sometimes we have to reach that place before our ears open to really hear what God is saying and our eyes are open to see how to do it God's way. And it will be a place of desperation that drives any church to its knees, seeking a new level in God and having a pouring out of his Spirit like never before. Desperation is what takes you from begging for others to pray for you to learning to pray for yourself. In other words, it's your desperation for the will of God that will save you. To all those who have struggled with the feelings of desperation, as though you've done all you know and how to do, you have prayed, you have fasted, you have confessed, and it seems like nothing has changed. I've come to tell you to get ready, because on the other side of your desperation is a miracle and a greater revelation of Jesus than you've ever known. Are you in a place of desperation this morning? Hey, God's using it as a springboard in your life to do a brand new work. Let him do it and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that in that place of desperation, Lord, you drive us to you. And Lord, you do a great work in our life. And Father, I pray for any here this morning that are in that place of desperation. Lord, they need you. Their life is falling apart in some form and fashion. Things are closing in on all sides. Whatever the case might be, all they know is that nothing else matters now but Jesus. And although we don't like being in that place, it is a glorious place to be. And how we thank you, Lord. How we thank you. That you use even the places of desperation to get us where we need to be the most protected, and that is at your feet and worshiping our God. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.